The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
We are going to begin with that scoping report. So I should also let you know that if you or someone you know has been impacted by anything in the report or in the item that we're about to discuss, you can contact 1&4 on 01662407070 or the Rape Crisis Network on their 24-hour national helpline 1800 77888. The scoping inquiry has revealed almost 2,400 allegations made against 884 alleged abusers in more than 300 religious-run schools. The scale and nature of the sexual abuse and violence suffered by the children in these schools is harrowing and extraordinary. And it is likely, according to the scoping report, to not be the totality of the revelations, because the expectation, as stated in the report, is that it is likely to beget more testimony from more people and more revelations as that happened. I'm joined on the line by Patsy McGarry of the Irish Times and John Coulter, who is a victim survivor of sexual abuse in Blackrock College. Patsy, let me start with you. I suspect there is a sense that with every report, with Lafoy, with Ryan, with Ferns, with every commission, that we have reached an end to this. What the scoping inquiry shows is that we very much have not.
You're absolutely correct, Anton. I mean, I've been covering this issue since 1997, 27 years, and I am serially shocked by revelations such as those that came out yesterday. But actually, the figures yesterday blew me away. I mean, almost 3,000 allegations, 884 perpetrators, half of whom are still alive, involving, in this instance, 305 schools, and she basically suggested that all 700-plus schools should really be investigated by the Commission of Investigations announced yesterday by the Minister, Norma Foley. I suppose you get to the stage where you believe you can't be shocked anymore, and particularly when you go back as far as Ferns, first report in October 2005, Ryan, May 2009, Murphy in November 2009, the Klein report 2011, I mean, the litany goes on, the interdepartmental report from the Magdalen Laundries in 2013 and the Mother and Baby Homes report in January of 2021. And here we go again with probably the biggest such inquiry we've ever faced in this context in the history of the state, because the numbers involved are quite colossal. Based on the scoping report alone, the numbers of allegations made, the numbers of perpetrators' allegations have been made against, the number of schools involved. I mean, it brings us back to something that the Ryan Commission faced when it was dealing with all of these very numerous orphanages, reformatories and industrial schools. How was it to tackle these? So what it did do is statistically it broke them down to a sample, which was representative of all these institutions. And that's the only way forward I can see where this new Commission of Investigation is concerned. It will have to establish a sample and investigate those as represent, those schools as represent, and those religious congregations, and indeed those other school authorities, because this will not just involve religious-run schools as representative of the whole lot.
The other thing that was notable and striking in this report is, in amongst the 700 pages, there is significant quotes of testimony from survivors and victims of the sexual abuse. And what's notable about it, in my reading, was one, how brazen and how public it often was, how little effort was made to hide what was being done to these children, and secondly, how violent it was.
Yes, and I mean, for a lot of the men who came forward, the most humiliating aspect of the abuse was that it took place in front of other boys at the time. It was doubly humiliating for them. Most of the abuse seems to have originated in the 1970s. And in fact, in November 2022, the two events that precipitated what we heard yesterday was the documentary on RT Radio 1 with the two Ryan brothers detailing their abuse at Willow Park and Blackrock. But coincident with that were a group of South Dublin men who had, over the previous 18 months, got together with the Spiritans. And they talked about their abuse by priests, Spiritan priests, when they were at Blackrock College. And they set up this restorative justice program to help men like themselves who had come forward and were coming forward. And this was agreed between themselves and the Spiritans, and it was launched as a press conference, almost coincident with the broadcasting of that documentary. But those men gave out an extraordinary statistic at that press conference. They were from the Leaving Cert class of 1979, and one in every five of their 120-plus classmates had been sexually abused. I mean, that's shocking.
The difficulty, of course, now, Patsy, is what response is there, and what nature will the Commission take? Again, the report, the scoping report, goes into some detail as to best practice, both nationally, domestically and internationally, and also makes recommendations in relation to that. What of all of the challenges that we have faced before and will face again, to do with burden of proof, to do with duty of justice to those against whom allegations have been made, to do with confidentiality of the victims?
Well, it seems it is the case from the report yesterday. What survivors want, above all, is accountability by the congregations involved and by the schools authorities involved, and redress. And they don't want to give evidence themselves in public to any such investigation. And here we go back to Ryan again. Now, Ryan was set up under different legislation to the Commission of Investigations Act, which came in 2004, which is a much more efficient, cost-effective method. Ryan was a tribunal of inquiry. It lasted nine years. We can't have that because a lot of these people are elderly. And so it looks like what it will do is it'll have most of its sessions. All Commission of Investigations to date since 2004 have been held in private. But it does have the right to hold hearings in public. And one of the most effective parts of Ryan were when they brought in representatives of the religious congregations involved in running those residential homes for children and put them to give evidence and question them. And lawyers for the commission questioned them as to how this could have happened on their watch. And that was immensely satisfying for abuse survivors in attendance to see these people held to account publicly. And I think that will go some way psychologically to helping bring some satisfaction to abuse survivors in this context too. So I suspect that the Commission of Investigation may use that public hearings element for representatives of the schools as part of its investigation. I mean, it will talk to abuse survivors, it has said so, but that will be done privately. That was the same with the Ryan Commission. It only heard evidence from abuse survivors in private. And it looks like it's going down the two-strand route of the original Commission of Investigation, or well, the one that investigated the Mother Mabee Homes and the Ryan Commission. You have a confidential commission, it's called a different name in this context, where people just go along and tell their story. They're not questioned. They're not challenged. And then you'll have the harder, if you like, the investigation element, where people are questioned and evidence is established. And on that basis, a report will be prepared, as happened with our Mother Baby Home Commission report as well.
And I suppose one of the wider questions in this, when we look to culpability, Patsy, is given what the report has revealed about the nature of how brazen and open an awful lot of the abuse was, the issue of culpability, I suspect, is not just on those who committed the abuse, but on all of those of whom there must be dozens or hundreds who stood idly by.
There is no doubt about that. And on the school authorities who had to be aware that something untoward was going on, certainly for some of these individuals are concerned, because they were serial abusers. There are three names that come forward again and again and again from Willow Park and Black Rock College, who are notorious abusers of boys in both institutions. It's beyond belief the college authorities weren't aware of what was going on with these guys. Similarly, with Joseph Marmion in Belvedere College and other Jesuit schools that he taught in, it's unbelievable that the school authorities weren't aware. And indeed, it's been proven since that they were aware, but they did nothing. And that they are, as where this broader issue is concerned and the Catholic Church is concerned, the real scandal rests with the school authorities, or in a diocesan context with the bishops and senior clergy, who were aware of this issue, covered it up, moved these guys around, just to protect the institution above all else at the expense of children.
Patsy, thank you very much for that. That's Patsy McGarry of the Irish Times. A little bit later in the programme, we're going to be speaking to Colm O'Gorman on this issue. Before that, though, I mentioned John Coulter is with us. He is a victim survivor of sexual abuse in Blackrock College. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Anton.
John, insofar as you are happy to discuss it, can you give us a sense of your own experience?
I was abused by two priests in Willow Park. One of the incidents of abuse was, as Patsy described, completely out in the open in the classroom. It was abuse that I suffered on a Monday, and somebody else suffered on Tuesday, and someone else on Wednesday. With the same priest perpetrating this on various boys. In my own case, it was something I managed. I never felt that it really negatively that affected me that in a way that I was conscious of. But when these stories started coming out, and I read the stories from my classmates who had suffered this same abuse, and many of them said that exactly the same act crippled them for life. And so, you know, we need to not just look at abuse as the objective act of abuse, but also what the impact was on somebody, and those two things are what's critical.
Can I ask, John, in relation to one of the things that the report reveals, and it goes through the testimony of those who were abused, and it talks about what happened when they raised concerns. Some of them were beaten for having made allegations against teachers and priests. Some of them weren't believed. Some of them were threatened by school authorities. Some of them were threatened by their own parents. What of that, of the part of this where it was happening and you could not get anybody to listen, or if people did say they weren't believed?
Yeah, that was the thing. I mean, I think all those things happened. In many cases of Patsy mentioned the Restore Together, or the group that worked with the Spiritans on setting up their Start of Justice. I'm part of that group, Restore Together, and so we've had many victim survivors come forward, and in a number of cases they had shared their the story of their abuse with their parents, and they hadn't been believed, or the parents had gone into the school, and by the time they finished their meeting in the school, the conclusion that the adults came to was that the child was exaggerating, or that the authorities would say, well, I'll make sure that priest doesn't have anything to do with your boy, and that may well have happened. The priest didn't any longer interact or interfere with that or abuse that boy, but the priest was left in situ and was left to continue to perpetrate abuse on others, and so, you know, there and that often was the not being believed by the parents or the authorities was often as traumatizing and as hurtful as the abuse itself.
Well, you mentioned that there is a specific piece of testimony about exactly that happening in it, and I think we have become inured almost to this notion of the church simply moving priests from school to school when allegations came in. But one of the testimonies is of a boy who says, "I raised it. My parents raised it with the school. I was never abused again. But that priest continued to abuse people in my class, and that was seen as a solution."
We shouldn't be inured to this, but we also need to put it in the context of the times that the our parents and society at large had huge trust and faith in the church, and in we were given over to the school to be looked after, and instead of being looked after, people were abused. But that never figured in our parents or in the thinking that very often this could happen. It just wasn't in their frame of reference. And certainly we as boys, we weren't prepared for it, or we weren't, there was no safeguarding processes that we had been educated in to actually help us manage ourselves in the face of this abuse. So
what's your expectation in relation to further revelations? Because it's interesting when you read the report that you see an awful lot of allegations where they will say, well, I was abused, as was everybody else in my class. Yet when you then look at the total numbers, they may be relatively small in terms of allegations from individual schools. That, I would have thought, would suggest there are an awful lot of people who have yet to come forward.
Yeah, I mean, that's the every time there's another wave of news like this, we find more people coming forward. You got to remember that for many men and women here, the abuse suffered was something that they've locked away for 40, 50 years. In many cases, haven't spoken to anybody about it. That's been their way of protecting themselves. So to suddenly then come forward and to bring this to light, that's difficult in and of itself, and it's hugely underreported. The numbers are much larger, and we haven't had everybody who has abused come forward. And you know, this is only dealing with 300 schools. Well, we've got, you know, 700 schools in the country where there will have abuse will have happened in many others. So this is a, you know, the numbers are the scale of the numbers is are horrifying, but it's not the totality of it. There's way more there.
And John, as somebody who has been through this, a report like this report being published, what effect does it have for you? Is it cathartic, or does it reopen an old wound?
No, the report isn't cathartic. The report is simply bringing to the attention of the Irish public what we all who've been abused know. So, what the report is doing is it's paving the way for, as Patsy very sensibly said, for creating transparency and accountability, and that is something that victims want. But I think what it does for me is it says that I want to see. I want to see the religious orders and the government ensuring that we are providing victims and victim survivors with what they need now. And what they need now is they need a forum where they can come forward, share their story. They need it to be acknowledged that it happened. They may want a meeting and a direct apology from the representative of the perpetrators. That was the restorative justice process that we set up with the Spiritans, and that's been helpful for people. We've set up healing circles where people work in groups to provide support to each other, and that's been very helpful for them. People need counseling, they may need therapy, financial redress, and I guess redress is a terrible word, because it's really a financial acknowledgement or validation and atonement for what happened. That people want and need that. Some people want a memorialization of some sort. But I think what I'm trying to convey is that there's a lot of things that the victims want and need, and you need to put the victims, survivors, in the center of what next steps will get taken. So, for instance, if we set up a commission of inquiry, victim survivors need to be part of that commission. And this current report is victim-informed. It's not victim-centered. There's a lot of talk about it being victim-centered, but it's victim-informed. You need to have the victims at the center of what you're doing going forward.
John, thank you very much. That is John Coulter. Text to say, I'm sickened with the scope of the abuse report and the knowledge that it's only the tip of the iceberg. Where is the contrition, the shame, the true shock from the church? Is it because they have none? I've only ever heard meek excuses, whataboutery, and vacuous apologies from church leaders. Is this not the moment for them to open their books, purge their history, and excise these predators for once and for all? Can we finally retire the sentiment that it's only a few bad apples? The entire barrel of apples was rotten for the complicity, cover-up, and clear indoctrination of abuse that took place. 53106, if you want to get in touch, or 087-1400-106.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On News Talk.